Hey there, fellow deep divers. Ready to journey to Middle-earth? Today we're doing a deep dive into The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, excellent.
And whether you're already a Tolkien expert or you're just starting your journey to Mordor, Middle-earth, we've got some exciting stuff lined up for you today.
I'm excited.
We're looking at book excerpts, study guides, even a peek into a really interesting fan event. All to help us understand why Tolkien's work is so captivating, right?
It's amazing how it just draws you in, you know? What always fascinates me is that Tolkien didn't just create a story, he built an entire world. Middle-earth feels so real.
That's so true.
And I think one of the reasons for that is the amount of detail he put into world building.
Right. He wasn't just a storyteller, he was a philologist, basically a language enthusiast.
Oh, right, right.
And that shines through in every part of The Lord of the Rings.
Right, right.
The guy created whole languages for his elves, dwarves, even hobbits.
Really?
He even had, like, different dialects depending on where the hobbits came from.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's wild.
It's that attention to detail that makes his work so immersive, you know? When Frodo's describing the Shire or Gimli's talking about the mines of Moria, you really feel like you're right there with them.
And speaking of experiencing Middle Earth, one thing that always struck me, and that's something our sources really point out, is how the setting is almost like a character itself.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just a backdrop, right?
No, definitely not. Think about Mordor.
Oh, I know.
That sense of darkness and oppression.
Mm.
Or Lothlorien with its ancient, almost magical beauty. Those places affect the characters, their choices, even how things play out in the story.
Right. It shapes everything.
Tolkien understood that a setting isn't just about where things happen, it's about why they happen.
And that leads us to one of the big themes in the book's power.
Yeah.
How it could be so corrupting.
Yeah.
It's not just a straightforward good guys versus bad guys situation. Even characters we think of as heroes struggle, you know? They make some really tough choices.
Yeah.
Like take Boromir, for instance.
Oh, Boromir.
Hmm?
His story is really tragic when you think about it. You have this noble warrior sworn to protect the fellowship, but the ring, it's just too powerful.
Right.
I think it reminds us that we're all vulnerable to temptation, especially when it's something as tempting and as powerful as the One Ring. And Tolkien doesn't shy away from showing us what can happen when we make those choices.
Which makes it even more powerful when other characters resist that pull, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Sam, for example. He's Frodo's constant companion.
Hmm.
And he never seems tempted to take the ring for himself, not even once.
Samwise Gamgee. Talk about an unsung hero, right? And what's amazing is that he's not a wizard or some great warrior. He's a gardener. But his loyalty, his unwavering belief in Frodo, it's one of the most powerful things in the whole story.
It's true. And then there's Gandalf, who obviously gets how dangerous the ring is, but never tries to use it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, what sets these characters apart? What lets them resist when others can't?
That's a great question. I mean, if you were in their shoes facing those same temptations, could you honestly say you'd do the same?
That's a tough one.
It really makes you think.
It does.
And I think that's what Tolkien wants us to do. What are we willing to fight for? How much are we willing to sacrifice? And are we strong enough to resist that desire for power, even when it seems like it has all the answers?
Hmm. It's interesting how Tolkien uses symbolism to add these extra layers of meaning to the story.
Right.
I mean, our sources really highlight that.
Oh, absolutely. He was a master of it.
He really was.
Take, for example, the whole idea of light and darkness. It's not just good versus evil. It's more than that.
Oh, right.
It's about hope versus despair.
Right.
Knowledge versus ignorance.
I see.
Think about Frodo using the file of Galadriel to find his way through the mines of Moria.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the beacons of Gondor.
Oh, those are powerful images.
Right, they represent defiance.
Yeah.
Like standing up to the darkness that's closing in around them.
It gives me chills just thinking about it. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it is. And then there's the ring itself.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate symbol of how power can corrupt.
Right.
The more a character wants it, the more twisted their thinking becomes. It takes their strengths and turns them into weaknesses.
It's true. And we see that play out so tragically with Gollum. He was once like a hobbit, wasn't he?
He was.
But the ring, it just warped him, changed him into something, I don't know, almost monstrous.
It's a cautionary tale, really.
It is.
It shows what can happen when we let desire consume us, when we let it take over, that even good people or people who were once good can be corrupted.
It makes those who resist it all the more impressive, don't you think?
Absolutely.
It's like they understand that true strength comes from resisting, not giving in.
Exactly. They show us we always have a choice, always, even when things seem impossible.
Right.
And speaking of choices, one of the most powerful symbols has to be the elves leaving Middle-earth.
Ah, yeah. Sailing to the Undying Lands.
Right. It's such a bittersweet moment.
It really is.
Full of sadness, but also this sense of inevitable change. What do you think about Tolkien's decision to have them leave?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think it speaks to the idea that nothing lasts forever. Even things that seem eternal, like the elves. We all have to face change and loss. It's part of life.
And it makes you think about Frodo, doesn't it?
It does.
He goes through so much, sacrifices so much, and he succeeds in his quest, but he's not the same.
No.
He can't go back to the simple life he had before. It's like he needs that fresh start, like the elves, almost like some wounds go too deep to heal in this world.
Wow. It makes me think about how Tolkien's own beliefs might have influenced his writing. You know, our sources talk about his Catholic faith.
Yeah, that's a big question. Scholars have been debating that for years.
That's true.
Tolkien himself always said he didn't like to be too obvious with his meanings, but
right.
It's hard to ignore some of the parallels.
You see it in the idea of sacrificing for others, the fight against temptation.
Exactly.
The power of hope, redemption.
And even this concept of eucatastrophe, it's a word he actually invented.
Oh, wow.
It means a sudden turn of events from despair to joy.
I like it.
It reminds me of the idea of grace in Christianity.
Yeah, I could see that. It's like he's exploring these universal truths, but through the lens of his faith.
That's a great way to put it. But it never feels preachy, you know?
No, it never does.
He lets us find our own meaning in the story.
Speaking of finding meaning, we have to talk about these fans who take their Tolkien love to another level. The ones who play that ring game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What exactly happens at one of those events? Paint me a picture.
All right, so imagine this. You're in a forest, right? And you are surrounded by hundreds of other Tolkien fans. But these aren't just casual fans, okay?
Right.
These guys are dressed up. Elves, dwarves, hobbits, you name it, they go all out. It's amazing.
Wow, that's dedication. So it's like a massive game of pretend, but with like rules and stuff.
Exactly. It's a live action role-playing game, or LRRP for short, set in Middle-earth.
Cool. Okay, so walk me through it. What actually goes down?
Okay, so each player gets a character, right, with their own special skills and abilities.
Okay.
They team up, and they have to work together to achieve certain goals.
Right.
And the ultimate goal, help Frodo destroy the ring, or claim it for the forces of darkness.
Oh, wow. So there's like an actual ring, a real prop they're all after.
Yeah. It's usually a really well-made replica, and holding it, even just for the game, it can feel pretty powerful.
I bet.
Oh.
I'd be tempted, not gonna lie.
Wow.
Okay, so how does the combat work? Is it like full-on medieval battle?
No. Nothing like that. They use a system called bouncing.
Bouncing? What's that?
So you tap another player with a foam weapon.
Okay.
And then you compare your character's stats, any special abilities they have, to see what happens.
So it's more about strategy, making smart moves.
Exactly. Knowing your character, knowing the rules, teamwork, that's what it's all about.
I love it. It sounds like people could get really into it.
Oh, they do. You can spend hours, you know, coming up with plans, making alliances, going on these epic quests. It's really something else.
It sounds amazing. And it just goes to show how powerful Tolkien's work is. It inspires this kind of passion.
Totally.
You know, as much fun as it is to talk about the Ring game, we should probably talk about Tolkien's legacy on a larger scale.
Yeah, good point.
So we've talked about Tolkien's world, his use of symbolism. We even touched on this really cool fan event, this ring game.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But as we wrap up our deep dive today, it makes you wonder, you know, what is it about The Lord of the Rings that still speaks to people, even after all these years? What makes this story, with all its hobbits and elves and battles, so captivating?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think Tolkien was able to tap into something. Universal. You know, something that goes beyond just a specific time or place. It's not just a story about good versus evil or even just about power.
Right.
It's about courage, about friendship, about the human spirit and how it perseveres even when things seem impossible.
I love that. One of my favorite quotes, and it always stuck with me, is from Fellowship when Gandalf says, "All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us."
Oh, yeah.
It reminds you that even when things seem really tough, even impossible, we still have a choice.
Right.
We have the power to choose how we face those challenges, how we want to live our lives.
It's such a powerful message, and it really speaks to that theme of hope that you see all throughout Tolkien's work.
Oh, definitely.
Even when things are at their darkest, there's always that glimmer of light, that chance for things to get better, to make things right. And Tolkien, he doesn't sugarcoat it.
No, he doesn't.
He shows us how hard that fight can be.
It makes you think about Frodo, what he goes through.
Oh, absolutely.
He gives up everything, his home, his innocence, even like his sense of self. And he does it all to save Middle-earth.
Talk about a sacrifice. It really makes you wonder, you know, what would you do if you were in Frodo's shoes? Could you resist the ring? Could you be that strong, that selfless?
Big questions.
Yes.
Right. And I'm not sure there are any easy answers. It's easy to think, oh, I'd be like Sam, always there for my friends. Or I'd be like Gandalf, wise and powerful. But
you never really know until you're tested,
right? He grants
right?
it. Exactly. It makes you think. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that makes Tolkien so brilliant. He makes us ask those tough questions about ourselves, what we value, what would we do when the pressure's on.
It holds up a mirror, doesn't it?
It does.
To both the good and the bad inside of us. It reminds us that every choice matters. Even the small ones can have a big impact.
It's true. And that brings us to Tolkien's legacy. I mean, it goes way beyond just the books.
Oh, for sure.
It's how his writing has influenced our culture, how we see fantasy, what it means to be a hero, even how we tell stories.
It's remarkable.
Think about those ring game players. Yeah. I mean, that's real dedication. It shows how a story can go beyond the pages and become something much, much bigger.
It's the power of imagination, right? The enduring appeal of myths and legends. Tolkien created something so rich, so detailed, that people are still connecting with it today. And to me, that's the mark of truly great literature, when it stays with you long after you've finished reading it.
I couldn't agree more. So if you're new to Tolkien, I can't recommend his work enough. Pick up The Hobbit. Fellowship, you won't regret it.
And for those who've already read Tolkien, maybe it's time to revisit Middle-earth. You never know what you might discover.
Exactly. And hey, if you're feeling adventurous, maybe check out The Silmarillion, Tolkien's mythology of Middle-earth. It's a bit of a challenge, but worth it.
Definitely a must-read for any serious Tolkien fan.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into Tolkien. But remember, this is just the beginning. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep. And until next time, happy reading.